The Tent Makers Podcast, Episode 21.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Tent Makers Podcast. My name is Mark Sintel.
And my name is David Ludwig.
And this is the podcast dedicated to encouraging and equipping bivocational pastors and ministry leaders. Our goal is to help you effectively use your two or more jobs to accomplish your one important mission. In this episode, we're talking about intentional discipleship. But first, we'd like to point you to our website. This ministry is part of the broader ministry of the Baptist Resource Network in Pennsylvania and South Jersey. The BRN exists to glorify God by fostering spiritual transformation for persons and communities with the gospel. You can find out more about the BRN and other great content at www.brnonline.org.
So let's get right into this episode. We're talking about intentional discipleship. So there's two key words there. The first one is intentional. You've got to be intentional. You've got to have a plan. You've got to work the plan. If you're going to make disciples, you've got to be intentional.
Yeah, well, and this isn't something that happens quickly either. And so being intentional, a goal in mind, you know, there's a prize at the end, so to speak, which is a mature disciple-making disciple that you're trying to invest in.
Yeah. I mean, even when we talk about the end, you know, if you're honest, there's a sanctification, if we use those big words again, but this isn't something you just arrive. We're always a disciple. We're always learning.
Yeah, I'm reminded of the great American theologian, Yogi Berra, who says, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to get there every time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes to intentional part of discipleship, knowing where we're going and then pursuing it intentionally is certainly right. And so the second word there is discipleship, intentional discipleship. And so I think it's just important to say straight off the bat, not every pastor understands what a disciple is. You know, we've settled for something less than a disciple, but Jesus models and teaches on what does it mean to be a disciple. Even when he first called his disciples, Matthew 4:19, I think where Jesus called and said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And Jim Putnam lays this out in Discipleship, but he says there's in that verse, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men," is a pretty good definition of a disciple. The first part is follow me, which someone has made a decision to follow Jesus, and they actually are doing what Jesus does. So a disciple is led by Jesus. And then the second part, follow me and I will make you. A disciple is changed by Jesus. They get a new identity and they get a new set of behaviors by Jesus. And it's something that's done by him to them. Jesus is the grand disciple maker and shepherd of the flock. He changes his sheep. You know, he makes us into disciples, which reminds me of process. But a disciple is someone not only that is choosing to follow Jesus, that is led by Jesus, but someone's being changed by Jesus. And then the third part of that as Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so the fishers of men part means a disciple is devoted to the mission of Jesus of making other disciples, spreading the good news, sharing the hope of the gospel with others, and changing our primary vocation to our calling to be men fishers. So three parts. It's more than just being a convert or believing in Jesus. That's part of it. I must follow him. We need to be changed by him and be committed to his mission as well. So maybe that's what it is. What is it not?
Yeah, well, it's not just a convert. It's not just a church attender. And we say that because we realize that when someone gives their life, that initial follow me, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop with, I've said, I believe, I've joined the church, now I've arrived. And, you know, we don't overemphasize that. I believe that's something we've taken lightly over the years, and by no one person's fault, but if we were to look at the state of the church across our nation, we would have to be honest and probably say we have a lot of converts and attenders. And so somewhere along the line, we were not intentional about making a disciple.
Well, we won them to something beyond discipleship, frankly. I think, you know, we've gotten people to pray a prayer to get the pie in the sky when they die, but we haven't really called them to what Jesus calls us to call them to. He says, go and make disciples.
Yeah.
And again, that's an intentional long-term commitment. That's not a decision. That's a lifetime of decisions or learning. You know, you said earlier, disciple means student at some level, follower. And so there's a lot to learn following Jesus. And Jesus says, go and make disciples and teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Well, he commanded, you know, about 700 discrete things if we start to look at it. You know, okay, have we taught those to somebody? Well, a lot of people didn't realize they're signing up for a path of discipleship. They just think, oh, I need to pray a prayer so I go to heaven when I die.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and sometimes even in our good intents, we've fallen short. Many churches that I've been aware of over the years, you know, someone comes to know the Lord, they would give them a Bible and say, here's your first Bible. We want you to have a Bible. But have we taught them to read the Bible? Have we taught them to study the Bible? Have we taught them to know what parts of the Bible are important for our Christian growth in what ways?
It's kind of selfish, actually. You know, it does more for us than it does for them.
Yeah.
We got them converted and we hand them a Bible and we feel pretty good about ourselves.
Right.
But they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, again, back to discipleship, it talks about, you know, when someone is first born, just like a physical infant, they are spiritual infants. They don't know how to feed themselves. Just because you had an infant a spoon doesn't mean they know how to use it, or they even know what food is, what the right food is to eat. And so we have to be so involved in showing it to them, particularly for those spiritual infants. They need the spiritual spoon feeding and learning, here is what good food looks like, and here's how you use the fork, here's how you read the Bible. And that helps them grow to spiritual, you know, childhood, where they can start to eat on their own and then work on other issues.
Yeah. Even the disciples said to Jesus, will you teach us how to pray? They knew they needed, they saw it, but they wanted to know more, and we need to be willing to do that.
Maybe there's been a wrong emphasis. You know, I just didn't want to encourage pastors that in good intentions, they focus on soul winning, you know, and they encourage churches to be soul winning churches, but that's not what Jesus calls us to soul winning. He calls us to disciple making.
Yes.
Which is a very different thing. So for bivocational pastors, I'd say part of the definition of a disciple helps speak to you as a disciple maker. One of the things that a disciple does is a disciple makes other disciples. Every disciple is a disciple maker, which reduces the burden on you, pastor. You don't have to be the discipler of everyone, because you need to be teaching everyone to make disciples of others. And so for you, it's okay to focus on a few. You have permission to focus on a few. Maybe you're really focusing on those spiritual parents that are making children themselves. And that's your best time is spent either with spiritual infants or spiritual parents. And spiritual parents are investing in a generation behind them and a generation behind them. But, you know, Jesus obviously focused on a small number with tremendous impact. And many of us do just the opposite. We try to focus on so many and we have little impact. And so, for goodness sakes, bivocational pastor, it's okay to focus on a few. Not only does it follow Jesus's model, but it helps us reinforce by our actions what we teach a disciple is, that a disciple makes fishers of men, meaning we expect every disciple to make fishers of men.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, on this kind of the last part of this, I'm just reminded of a man that I had an opportunity to meet with in the fall of last year, Dr. Billy Hanks Jr. is the founder of International Evangelism Association, and it's a very much a one-on-one discipleship process, of if we'll use that word. But he believes that, just as we do, that each person is to be discipled so that they can disciple another. And in fact, he has done the numbers, and I'm sure others have as well. But if each person would reach one, and in the course of about 33 years, we would reach the population of the world. So it's not, pastor, that you have to do it all. We know that we're expected to be the model, the leader. We need to also be empowering and training others to do what we do as well. And which kind of leads us to that question of, you know, who's discipling you? And then who are we discipling? And that's not a shame on me or, you know, putting us down, but we need to be in that relationship. We need to have it both ways, just like Paul and Timothy and Barnabas.
That's right. That's right. You know, the scripture speaks of plurality when it's talking about church leadership. You know, it's multiple elders within a town. It's multiple deacons within a church. And part of the reason for plurality, not only is for accountability and such, but it's also, there's a pouring into each other, that when we are co-laborers with others for the sake of the gospel, we get built up. You know, most pastors don't necessarily have a specific person that's mentoring them. Many have that benefit, a pastor of pastors, so to speak. But having a squad or a team of other pastors or elders or deacons within a church that you see as building into you as part of a cohort or a team, I think is super useful, because we're developing as a disciple. We never arrive. And so we need to be developing as a disciple ourselves.
Yeah. And like Jesus, we know it's relational. So to have those people who we can walk closely with on both ends there, somebody that's walking closely with us and then we're walking closely with others.
Well, we'd love to hear your thoughts about discipleship. It's a topic that's going to keep coming up throughout the Tent Makers podcast. So to comment on this episode, go to our blog at brnonline.org/tentmakers/021 and let us know what you thought. Or if you have any other questions about this topic or others, feel free to leave us a voicemail message at brnonline.org/tentmakers/podcast questions.
Well, that's it for this episode of the Tent Makers podcast. We'd be grateful if you would rate our podcast on iTunes. That helps us tremendously with keeping our podcast visible so people who have never heard it can discover it. If you've already done this, thank you so much, and we are truly grateful. If you'd like to comment in this episode, please go to brnonline.org/tentmakers. Go to the show notes for this episode and scroll down to the comments section. We'd love to hear from you, your comments, questions, or whatever. Until next time, remember, working two jobs is tough,
but your one mission is worth it.